That was a wonderful song for Lily to sing. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. That was a bias song. Okay, so today I have a story to tell you. I'm going to start out with this metaphysical interpretation of a story about a soul's journey toward illumination. And the journey is represented by a young girl named Dorothy and her four travel companions in the Land of Oz. Okay, so Dorothy, she represents the soul moving through life, seeking a higher truth, seeking illumination. The Creator reveals the qualities that she'll need to reach her destination, and those qualities will show up in the Scarecrow, in the Tin Man, and in the Lion. Those are the qualities we would need to do illumination. Dorothy is you and I. The Straw Man represents intelligence, principles, morals, and wisdom to steer Dorothy in the right direction. The Tin Man, who's seeking a heart, he has an awakened spiritual heart, which is connected to the source. He has demonstrated emotions, care, empathy, and compassion. The Lion is representing and seeking courage. We have to let go of fear. The Lion had the ability to stand up to life's challenges and for what was right. The last character in this story is Toto. Well, Toto, I kind of thought about, she didn't have a Great Dane or a large dog, a boxer or a German Shepherd. She had Toto, because Toto represents intuition, that small voice within that's always there that we listen to. And we wouldn't have got the message if it hadn't have been a teacup-sized dog. So Toto had to be kind of small. The Wizard, false hope, placed in salvation and illumination through a religion, through politics or politician, or through some accepted group that we thought was right. But the lesson out of all of that was, all that we need is within. And how do we access it? We access it by practicing the presence. Practice, that's a verb. To perform an activity or an exercise repeatedly, to improve and maintain proficiency, and to perform something regularly. Presence is a noun. Application of an idea or a belief as opposed to a theory. Actively pursuing a particular way of life. How does one begin to practice the present? You just don't wake up and there it is. I say through spiritual growth. And like the butterfly has a four-stage life cycle, I would offer or suggest that we have a four-stage spiritual growth cycle. Stage one, it's happening to me and I'm a victim. It's always happening. For the butterfly, the eggs are laid on the leaf. My belief is that situations outside guide our lives. We have no control, cannot change our circumstances. Belief that our race, place of birth, or education level drives our lives. We are often lost and miserable, unsure of where our life is heading, feel anxious and lost. That's feeling like a victim. The spiritual practice, probably little or none at all. My belief, life is controlled by outside circumstances. My thought process, why is this always happening to me? And I know some of you will remember that song by Charlie Brown, He's a Clown, It's Always Happening to Him. Well, the victim stage is, why is it always happening to me? But there's a growth opportunity here, giving up blame. Well, that's kind of a challenge, giving up blame. Well, the stage two, things happen by me. And at this stage, we're looking at larva or the caterpillar. That's the second stage. My conscious level at this stage is moving from victim state to manifester. Things are happening by me, believing I can direct the course of my experiences, not limited by circumstances. I start to understand the laws of the universe and I use them. I feel powerful and I feel in charge. And if some of you can remember the movie The Secret, there was a guy in a chair that wanted a car. And he sat comfortably and he started that car and he was driving. And when he parked it, he got out and zapped it while he was in house slippers and his house coat. But he was practicing using the law. His spiritual practice was visioning and affirming. His thought process was he can attract anything he wanted in life. But there was very little, if any, connection to God. It was about what he could do coming through him. The growth opportunity was to give up control. Now, I remember when I was in PRAC training back in LA, when things happened and I started getting involved with Science of Mind. And I remember the first thing I did to treat for as the guy in the car, in The Secret, a parking space. Well, that's kind of natural in LA because you don't find parking spaces. So I was practicing this law, there's gonna be a parking space, and you know what, the always one appeared. And I says, uh-oh, this stuff works, you know? So one morning I was listening to Richelieu and Hornaday, that was my 7 o'clock spiritual input, and he was talking about why people can't become millionaires. Well, we can't because we can't consciously embody what it feels like to be a millionaire. So I said, but I can consciously embody $50 a month raise. That I could handle, that I could embody, that I could believe. Doggone, I worked for Santa Monica Unified School District, and doggone if they didn't come through and do a job reevaluation and I got $50. I knew at that moment I was cooking with gas. This law really works. But there's more to it. There's a stage 3. Things happen through me. The caterpillar now has formed a chrysalis, and inside there's a metamorphosis stage happening. My conscious level, or a conscious level at that time, is let go of thinking we need to make things happen. We realize there's a larger purpose for this life we are living. We begin to trust the universe, realize we're not here to be self-serving, to be a channel for divine consciousness. Life's challenges no longer control me. Nothing is insurmountable in life. So my belief at this time is begin to trust the universe, the ultimate surrender to the presence. The spiritual practice at this stage is meditation and prayer. The growth opportunity at this stage is to give up the ego and any sense of separation. This means I'm growing. And then there's stage 4. Things happen as me. Transformation has happened in me and in the chrysalis. Because now I'm practicing the presence and the butterfly has emerged and flies away. I consciously identify now with my creator in stage 4. I know that God and I are one. I experience miracles and mystical moments. I know that we are all part of the same fabric of universal consciousness. Ego takes a back seat as we come to terms with this idea. We feel more connected to everyone and everything. Unconditional love towards all life, that's agape love. My spiritual practice at this time is meditation, prayer, and sacred service. And we have a lot of people here at this church performing sacred service. We have touched spiritual illumination. At this stage, we are practicing the presence. Unfortunately, some of you are familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And he has 5. Physiological, safety, belonging and love, esteem, and self-actualization. But as Maslow says, and I know, unlike the butterfly, we humans are always moving in between any of these 4 stages. Some days we're on stage 4, and we know that we know that we know. And other days you can wake up and you're the victim. And why is it always happening to me? So we have to give ourselves a break, because we will be moving through that. But once we touch that illumination, or once we touch the hem of the garment, you can't go back to victim and stay there. You might touch that, but you will always knowing there's much more than wallowing in self-pity or feeling sorry for yourself. Well, let's talk about how does one's life improve when we are practicing the presence. First of all, we have an expanded consciousness. We allow ourselves to really open up to the world, to God as we understand it. We know who and whose we are. We are one with the infinite. Patience, we learn patience. Everything is on time and in time in divine life. We have whole soul surrender to spiritual practice. That is including meditation, prayer, study, community involvement, and definitely our church involvement. Whole soul surrender. Forgiving, that's a hard one sometimes. But forgiving, because we know the truth, that only the truth is the only reality. And the truth is that God is all that there is. And she just sang that. God is all that there is. We have spiritual maturity, discernment, and self-discipline. Now, I'm working on that one because I gotta have skinny pop. So that's a challenge for me, that self-discipline. We problem solve through expanded awareness, never, ever from the level of the problem. You have to kick it upstairs, and I call upstairs in the higher consciousness. Because we don't tell God about our problems. We tell our problems about our God. We shell up fellowship with like-minded people. And there's a great fellowship in this community right here. I live in a constant state of gratitude. That, to me, is so important. That's grateful to wake up at my age. That's thankful for the day. That's thankful for my water. That's thankful for my food. I can be sitting in a restaurant. I'm going to stop and bless my food. Always, always in gratitude. That keeps that channel open. When you're giving Thanksgiving, there's an opening where things can download to you that you need to know. As I said, things come to you on time and in time. Receptive, we say yes with an open heart and mind for the highest good. We have to be receptive. Otherwise, you're closed down, and once you close down, nothing comes through. And I've got a story about that one. Infinite possibilities are always available when you're in that stage. We tithe. That's an important one. We tithe to reveal the grace of God, because we know that God is our sufficiency. If they're talking about a recession, we give more, because we can't buy into what the news says. We always have to be doing the opposite of the gloom and doom that may be happening, because I don't want to embody that into my consciousness. We want to keep that out there. So, also in stage four, we recognize and acknowledge the challenges to social justice issues. For instance, healthcare. Homelessness, food insecurity, voting rights, gun violence, affordable housing, human rights, pay equity, racial and age discrimination, gender and sexual identity, environment and climate change, poverty, clean water, recovery programs, politics. They are all a call for prayer and for us to have the courage of the lion to stand up for what we know is truth. And that's a tall order, but that's what we engage in when we're practicing the presence. In the Buddhist religion, A bodhisattva is an illumined person, one whose essence is perfect knowledge. That bodhisattva delays transitioning to nirvana, which is a state of perfect peace and happiness, to stay and help others achieve spiritual awareness on this plane of expression. So I think we are like bodhisattvas. And here's why I think that. Today and every Sunday, our vision is a spiritually awakened world living in peace, love, and joy. If that's the vision that we have for the world, that's the vision we got to be carrying within ourselves. We can't say that for a hot 30 seconds on Sunday here and go out in the world and see differences and see lack and limitation and see homelessness and all of the things that I've just read. Our mission statement says we transform lives that transform the world. I can't transform your life unless I'm carrying a light of a life that's transformed. The work is always within here. And when we get the work settled within here, you will see it. Somebody will know there's something about you, and I want to know more about. Where do you worship? Unity, Renaissance, where's that? That's what we're carrying. We cannot impose our spiritual and our mission statement, but we can expose it by living it, by carrying it, by being it, okay? We can help others achieve spiritual awakeness as we live our vision and mission statements by actively practicing the presence, okay? So before I close, I gotta give you a story about myself. I think it was in June when Reverend Paula was lining up the speakers for August. And she asked me, what Sunday do you want? And I said, oh, the last one, August 29th. You know, it gave me plenty of time. And then I got an email from Elisa that says, Reverend Paula wants to know, what's your topic? And I don't know why I said, practicing the presence. After I sent that email, I said, oh my God, what am I gonna, what, practicing, and I had a victim meltdown on that one. I was stressing. So I went to bed, and I had a dream, and I want you to follow this dream. First of all, I was downtown LA on San Pedro Street. Now that's downtown, okay, where they do factories and stuff, but I was down there. I was in a seedy hotel, about a five-story hotel. Well, you don't judge me yet. But I was down there, and I was sitting at a table in the lobby. I wasn't in a room. I was sitting at the table in the lobby, and I was asking this person, what am I going to talk about this practicing the presence? And they were at the table, but they had their back turned to me, so I couldn't see whether it was a man or a woman, but I wasn't getting any results. And I saw this little narrow staircase, but I said, I'm going to go down to City Hall, that's LA City Hall, and I'm going to see if I can get information down there. So I went out on Sam, it was a sunny day, and I started walking down towards City Hall. And I heard somebody say, Ardell, Ardell. And I turned around and I looked, I didn't see anybody, but I could hear my name. And they said, look up. And I looked up and the sun was in my eye, and there was two or three people in the window saying, come on up. And I said, oh no, I got to go to City Hall to get information for this talk. So they said, well, when you're finished, come on up. I said, well, how do I get up there? And they said, you know, you've been here before. And I woke up. And I got out of that. You don't need to hunt around. Just be still and know and let it download. And boy, did it download. It gushed down. I mean, I was writing and trying to remember this, my meditation time, it was pouring forth. But that was my lesson. But practicing the presence, you get it quick. I didn't have to go searching for it. I just got still. The dream told me what I needed to do. Come on upstairs. Go up to that higher consciousness. Go up to that place where you know that you know that you know. So I invite all of you to let me do a moment of prayer before we go into the quiet time. how grateful I am to this moment to be here talking about practicing the presence, because I know that that is a life desire, to just be still and know that God is always in this moment in time, right here, right now, where each one of us are. I'm so grateful that I had surrendered my life to allow myself to be open, to listen, to be that quiet voice, to hear it as it downloads into me, not always quiet, sometimes pretty loud, but it comes forth and I am hearing and receptive and saying yes, yes, yes to the service, yes to the call. And I know and invite each and every one here in the sound of this voice to think about their four stages and to step up into that fourth stage, open their heart and mind and be a vehicle. Be here to be God's hands and feet, because that's all there is to life, is being here and being God, being at one with that infinite, being who we are, because we are belonging to that infinite presence. And if you will have a moment of silence with me. And so it is.
Flow, Spirit, flow through.